Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Wednesday afternoon. We've got to talk some golf, and joining us now is John Goen from Timber Trust. John, good afternoon. How are things over at Timber Trust?
Everything's good. Good. We finally have some growing weather, and things have been busy, seeing a lot of folks. And so, you know, kind of getting some decent playing weather here, and all of a sudden everybody's ready for it. So second major of the year is here upon us. And so I think, you know, we kind of have had a couple weeks of some rain. But other than that, really, really nice to see some good temps. It's allowed us to be able to do a few things golf course wise, and then really starting to actually see some growth out of, you know, the grass coming out of wintertime finally, and some of that fertilizer we put down, you know, about a month or month ago. So, but yeah, no complaints, guys.
And you treat the majors really special at Timber Trust. Tell our listeners if anybody can still get in this weekend and how the festivities will play out for y'all.
Yeah, no, so we have our, what we call, refer to as the SIP championship this weekend. And it is actually already sold out. So unfortunately for those who were looking to try to play, we will do one with the U.S. Open in June. So, you know, you can get into that one. We, you know, these things generally sell out within a couple of weeks prior to the event, which has been great. But yeah, it's a 4-person scramble. You go out, play, and then before we head out, we'll take a, you'll get to draw a tour player that's in the top 20 that makes the cut. And it's your scramble score from the day with their, Saturday round paired together. And then we flight out the event.
That's fun. That's a lot of fun. John, do you like how, you know, we're now into several May PGAs. Do you like how the tour has really rolled it out with Players Championship in March, Masters in April, PGA in May, U.S. Open June, British Open Championship in July, playoffs in August, and then either Ryder or President in September? I've gotten used to it. Have you, and do you like it?
Yeah, I think I've gotten used to it. I mean, I definitely like it from the standpoint of, you know, we now know that, you know, starting in March, you'll get the Players, then you go to Augusta, then, of course, you get the PGA. So, we're going to get a major every month, and then, you know, you just know at the end of the day, you've got to finish before football season starts. So, you know, it just kind of falls the way it falls at this point. Wasn't a huge fan of it originally. You know, I really liked the old, you know, the PGA was glory's last shot.
I did too.
But at the same time, you know, I've kind of gotten accustomed to it. Be curious to kind of see. I haven't really watched a lot of live from the last couple of days. So be curious to kind of see what the golf course is like. I did see that, weather-wise, I think they're going to be decent here the next few days. So, you know, maybe be able to get the event in without anything major from a weather perspective. So be curious to see how the golf course plays itself out. You know, I'm sure, I think that part of the country's had more rain than we've had throughout the winter and everything else. So, but you know, if they've kind of gotten into a bit of a drier spell, you know, the PGA can work on getting the golf course maybe a little bit more firm and stuff like that. Although, as we've discussed before, I think the PGA still does a really good job of not really caring what score is, just, you know, make the golf course as fair as they can, and then just let the guys go out and play it, and whatever they shoot, they shoot. They don't really, they're not trying to protect par like the U.S. Open does.
Notoriously tough, great sports town. Do you think the gallery will be more pro Scotty or pro Rory?
That's a really good question. I mean, you would tend to think that they would be more pro the American golfer. Although, you know, obviously Rory is, you know, a very popular golfer, from that perspective. But I think that you know, I think that you would tend to feel that, that they would still side a little bit more with the American over a European at this point. But, you know, there's no real Ryder Cup this year, so you're not having to deal with what we were dealing with last year and going into it. But you still tend to hear it, you know, you've heard it during tour events this year where you get those USA chants. So, you know, again, I would tend to think that being – in Philadelphia, they're gonna lean a little bit more towards an American over a European.
Mm-hmm. You talked about it a little bit, but this course, a lot of people talking about the rough and how gnarly it can be over the next 4 days. How do you expect this course will play over the rest of this week?
Yeah, I mean, the rough is definitely a little surprising for me for a PGA, but I still think that, you know, again, as we've discussed, that, you know, the PGA setup committee is always, you know, tending to be a lot more fair, and you know, they're not really caring about what scores are. So, you know, they're just going to let the guys go out and play golf and see what they shoot. So, you know, but clearly you can't miss too many fairways here, or else you are going to be penalized a little bit, which is different than other PGA championships. So, but, you know, it looks like that there are some potential for some diabolical pins if you get a little bit of spin going into some of these front, you know, hole locations of ball spinning back and could wind up 10, 15, 20 yards back down the fairway. So that'll be interesting. But, you know, I think the PGA is not known for really letting the golf course get too far out of control if we are going to be dry and sunny. So, you know, you'll see some water get thrown overnight to make sure that the greens stay, you know, at least playable, and I think it should be, per about normal, a good event.
John, at one time, the PGA was the tournament that some largely not household names could sometimes win. In Memphis, Sean McKeel got that. Jason Duffner got one. Rich Beam got one. You go way back. I always call it the Dow Finsterwald tournament. It doesn't feel like that back-of-the-pack guy can emerge anymore. That it's now for the big boys. I know JJ Spahn last summer in the U.S. Open, but he was known on tour, and not that some of those names I mentioned weren't known on tour. But it doesn't feel like a back of the pack guy can win. Do you feel that way?
No, I mean, but I think you've got some guys that have been playing well as of late that are well outside of, you know, your top whatever in the world, that could potentially, you know, play well and play their way in. I mean, you know, heck, at the end of the day, Shane Lowry's at 38 in the world. You know, he's well outside of, you know, kind of our 21 and above. You know, he's got
But a major winner.
You know, I'm going to, you'll have to go ahead and criticize me, but you know, at 25, Rattan, who's been playing well, you know, he's definitely got a possibility. But you know, you've got to think he's really climbed over the last few weeks. I mean, you know, just go back to Valspar, or even, you know, the Houston Open.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's made
49th in the world. Yeah. You know, he's 49th in the world back then after a missed cut in Houston. Then, you know, obviously has kind of gone on a bit of a tear to, you know, climb 23, 24 places in the world golf rankings. So, you know, you could see a guy like that who's been hot as of late, you know, probably have an opportunity to kind of jump back in and go from there. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, you definitely tend to think nowadays, I mean, you know, like right now I'm looking at power rankings for the PGA Championship. I mean, I'm willing to bet there's 15 guys on this list and there's a really good chance outside of something crazy that we're not going to go, you know, too far off of this list at the end of the day. So,
yeah, I just don't feel like on Sunday afternoon holding the Wanamaker is going to be Ben Kern.
Yeah, probably not. You know, I wouldn't see Ben Kern, you know, having that opportunity.
And if he's got family and friends in this area, I was just using an example. Don't be mad. I'll go Elvis Smiley, a famous Elvis, or not so famous Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, you're not looking here and going, Aaron Rye's got a legitimate chance at 44.
Wait a second. You may be hitting a little too close for comfort there.
Lay off my guy, Aaron Rye.
Just saying. I mean, Jordan Spieth's not like jumping off the page at 51 in the world, you know, going, oh my gosh, Jordan's really
good. Will he ever close out the career slam?
No.
No.
I mean, he's still young, obviously, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Jordan has not shown a flash of anything.
Huh.
What was, I mean, honestly, I can't remember.
Had bonker issues last weekend.
Yeah, after he's, you know, one of his more famous shots is the hole out from the bunker at TPC River Highlands to win, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right about that. We've talked a lot about Rory McIlroy. We haven't seen much of him since his Masters win. What do you expect this weekend? You know, you see the story about the toe blister, but what do you expect from the Masters winner?
Poor baby.
That's new shoes.
Was he got a new pair of shoes this week? He picked this week to try some new shoes. That's what we're doing now, Rory.
Wouldn't be my choice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I was not blown away by his performance at Truist. But, I mean, heck, he hadn't played since Augusta at that point. So, you know, is it kind of like college football season where, you know, you don't look great in week one, but you could look good in week two? I mean, there's, I guess, that possibility. So, you know, I mean, but I don't know. Rory's a tough pick, especially now that he's hurt his little toe, and, you know, he might have some, you know, uncomfortable, you know, feet being uncomfortable is not an enjoyable thing, fellas. I can tell you that. I've worn brand new golf shoes and, you know, made it nine holes riding in a golf cart with that new pair of shoes.
Live to regret it for sure. John going with us. We'll make our golf picks in a few minutes. He's from Timber Trust Golf down in Olive Branch. He's with us every Wednesday talking golf from the Masters through the Tour Championship. He's on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. John, for this week, Rory once again talked about his pre-tournament regimen of flying in and playing and scouting the golf course. We know others do it. What do you think the percentage of players that can afford to do that? What are they? And the players from yesteryear, I know Arnold Palmer famously was a pilot himself and had access to it. A lot of times Jack Nicklaus would catch a ride with him, with his big competitor. But I can't imagine Raymond Floyd and Tom Weisskopf and even Lee Trevino in 1972 flying in on a Tuesday and playing and getting out of there. It's an advantage, isn't it?
I mean, maybe a little bit, you know, but these guys have enough time nowadays. Although, you know, they've really kind of cut down. You know, you don't hear of anybody anymore that is playing an 18-hole practice round on Monday and Tuesday and then maybe playing nine holes on Wednesday. It's like I play the front nine on Monday, I play the back nine on Tuesday. Whichever one I might feel like I need to see a little bit more of, I'll play that Wednesday. And then, you know, I'm ready for the golf tournament and kind of go from there. I mean, we are long gone from the days of, you know, 18-hole practice around Monday and Tuesday, and then you know, then trying to figure out what you're going to do going into Wednesday, and then get ready for the golf tournament. So there's probably a little bit, you know, they might be able to lay their eyes on, you know, exactly what the golf course is from a setup perspective. But I mean, let's face it too, guys, the golf course, these guys can get the golf course to change quite a bit, you know, in a week, especially with drier weather, you know, so they can fly in the week before or whatever and then fly out. And in a week, I mean, you know, they're going to mow things a couple more times. I know, you know, even last year with talking with Nick Bazans as they were getting ready for the FedEx event, I mean, you know, he went down in mowing heights, you know, the week before. and was going to go down, you know, even a little bit further, you know, the week of the event. So, you know, I mean, things can change. Golf course can change and, you know, but, I mean, just lay your eyes on it, kind of visually see. I mean, the rough's not going to change a heck of a lot. They might, you know, mow it one more time, you know, and then let her kind of go from there. But, you know, it'll give them a fair idea. But, again, I think the golf course can change pretty dramatically even over the span of the, you know, this week, for crying out loud.
How much latitude, like, will Nick have come August? And at this site, at a major site, do they have in setting it up, or are they told if you can, you get it to thus and so?
Yeah, well, I mean, so a little different this year. You know, Southwind will have a new superintendent. You know, Nick has kind of moved on. So Eddie Chittum is the new superintendent out at Southwind. You know, I think to your point, Brett, it's going to be a little bit different on two sides of the equation, right? So, you know, the PGA of America is going to, they're going to tell them, you know, how they want things set up and you know, rough height mainly and things along those lines, and probably some mowing heights. But at the end of the day, is it a massive change from where he's potentially at up there? Probably not a lot. I mean, at Southwind, you know, you're having those conversations through the course of the year. So, you know, from year to year, you're going to probably have a pretty good feel for it. I mean, things as they go into year two of new greens with Tiff Eagle, you know, will Eddie have a bit more of an opportunity, you know, to get a little bit more aggressive earlier this year since they're not going through a grow-in? You know, they're still dealing with young, new greens, but, you know, will he have an opportunity to maybe get a little bit more aggressive earlier this year as opposed to what they were dealing with last year with the growing of the golf course and getting things ready? Yeah, he probably will. The tour is always going to dictate, you know, golf course setup. I mean, they'll have, you know, Mark Johnson, the support guy in, you know, right a little before advance week. And he'll ride around with Eddie quite a bit, and they'll, you know, make tweaks to the golf course, you know, as you get ready for it. And then your advance official shows up to mark the golf course and get things ready, and you'll have those conversations with him as far as where he wants to see things go. And I'm sure the PGA is pretty similar. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're teed up and ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how that happens. But let's go ahead and make our picks for this weekend at the PGA Championship. And John, I know you've been waiting all week for this first pick, and we've been anticipating.
I have a really good
well.
Feeling, guys, that Scottie Scheffler is going to be there at four for me.
Wow.
I'm just telling
wow,
you.
He's not going to be. Speaking of teed up and ready to go, give me Scottie Scheffler.
Shocker.
Right?
Great pick, Brett.
Yeah.
Thank you, Landon. I appreciate the
really
sincerity,
good.
Too.
Really good that's pick. Right. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Thank you. Your sincerity, pick. Landon, a little more than John's is what I really appreciate.
I'm just looking out for our community, you know?
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, something like that. I'll take Cam Young.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Landon?
I guess I'll roll with him again. I'll go Rory.
All right.
Yeah. He's the only guy that can win the Grand Slam this year.
Good pick, Landon. Good pick.
I really appreciate good. That, John. I can feel
like
it.
That,
almost,
like
almost with the sincerity of congratulations on Scottie Scheffler for me, wasn't it, Landon?
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the love.
John?
I guess I'm going to try to see if I can ride what has been probably the hottest golfer in recent tour schedule, and that'll be Matt Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm.
And as we were visiting earlier with Richard Cross, Thursday and Friday will feel a little more British weather for Matt Fitzpatrick. That's a good, that is. I mean it sincerely, John. Nobody
we
really
don't trust each other.
We don't trust. Look what we've done to each other.
Right.
I didn't like that pick.
Right.
Mentioned on Monday by Doug Bell, and I think it would be one of the great sports stories of the year. My shock, Ricky Fowler.
Okay. I'll go
Akshay Patia. After he played last week, I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll go Akshay Patia.
Akshay Patia, Landon.
All right, that leaves me with, I'll take Patrick Cantlay.
John?
I'm going to go with my guy that helped me out last year at the U.S. Open, and I'm going to take Terrell Hatton.
Okay.
Mino Terrell Hatton. He may be one that Philly crowd gets on.
Could.
Could be.
He definitely could.
But, you
and
know,
he may thrive off of it.
I was going to say, he tends to speak his mind rather freely on the golf course. So
bring it, big boys.
I don't think he would be afraid of maybe a little back and forth with the
He could antagonize them and feed off of it.
Good, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun. It'll be a fun weekend all around with the PGA Championship. Before we let you go, John, tell us more about what y'all have going on at Timber Trust, how people can book tee times.
Yep, so two-man, as we talk every week, is tomorrow night. We did have one skin winner last week. The Lucky Dog won right around $500 or so. So
yes, sir.
We're back to the starting point for skins coming up this week. But call us at 662-895-3530 to be able to get into the two-man for tomorrow night. And then, like we talked about, I mean, the weekend's looking pretty good. I think our next rain chances are sometime next Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll kind of see how that whole thing goes. But, you know, should be a great weekend for golf. It's definitely going to kind of warm up. I see some kind of mid to upper 80s, which is spectacular. So golf course is in good shape. You know, like I said, we've kind of done some agricultural stuff this week with our normal top dress and getting our spray applications out and put some growth regulator down on tees and fairways to kind of maybe get them to tighten up a little bit. And so overall, you know, golf course is in pretty good shape. You know, still have some recovery to do from winter, but should be a great weekend. Come down to Timber Trust and play golf. You can call us again, 662-895-3530. Book your tee time over the phone. You can visit us at timbertrustgolf.com and book your tee time online. And, of course, you can follow us on social media, both Facebook and Instagram at Timber Trust Golf Course, that we post, you know, all of our upcoming events. Like I said, our next event will be in conjunction with the U.S. Open on that Saturday of the U.S. Open, similar format, four-person scramble with a tour player draw there on Saturday. So that'll be a fun event, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, should be a fun weekend, John. Enjoy it. Enjoy all the action, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right, fellas, enjoy this weekend. Should be a good one.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. You as well. It's going to be fun down at Timber Trust, and it was fun with John. He was on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, that great location at 4542 Popper. Bill Jones is a golf nut, and he and Sissy's Log Cabin, they are a supporter of everything around here, including at the golf tournament every year. And we were visiting yesterday with Robert, how much fun we had at Club 59 a few years ago, and hope we can get back out there this year. Thank you so much to Sissy's for what they do for the golf tournament and for us. They have the Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, necklaces, earrings, all those special moment, special occasion things. 9,000-square-foot store in Laurelwood at Poplar and Perkins with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more since 1970 with all the great locations across the Mid-South. It got at FedEx St. Jude Championship time, they will be bringing you the official leaderboard updates every day that we're out there. 3 months from today will be the Wednesday we're out there, Brian. You ready?
I am ready.
I am too. Sissy's, they offer a selection of diamonds, estate jewelry, and fine gifts, and the official jeweler for the hometown teams like the Tigers and with the Grizzlies, and at FedEx Forum with the floor seat lounge. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, let's get to another break. When we return, we've got to talk about the NBA playoffs. Last night, the Spurs got a win. Tonight, we'll go over to the Eastern Conference and see who can take advantage of the series between the Cavs and the Pistons. We'll talk about it next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids, because all the cool kids.
We're back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we've got to talk about the NBA playoffs. Last night, it was the Spurs who got the win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was it's nice to see before the game the tribute that the NBA took, the moment of silence, for both, obviously, Brandon Clark and Jason Collins, whose passing the news came out right when we were getting off the air last night. So a moment of silence for both those guys, obviously, two NBAers before that game last night. So definitely cool to see that, and then the game was really enjoyable as well.
Jason Collins, and you remember him with his twin brother at Stanford, just 47, was with the Grizzlies, and you know, a player that took his stand, and but nobody, I'm telling you, when you get the diagnosis of glioblastoma, it is over, and that's what took him way too soon at a very young age, and. And for him and for Brandon Clark, Brian, it doesn't feel, it's overused, but the word surreal, that we're talking about a 29-year-old, even a 47-year-old, you know, in the past tense, gone, and just way too soon, and with Collins, you know, with the glio, you can't escape it when you're diagnosed with it. And for Brandon Clark, you know, the details emerging, but it's still very sad that a young person, you know, got involved in that.
Yeah, no, it is definitely really sad to see both these guys. You know, I didn't know Jason Collins had been diagnosed with that, and so it was you know, really shocking to me to see that news last night. And then obviously the shocking news of Brandon Clark, and like you said,
the league handled it well.
They did, and you know, like you mentioned with Brandon Clark, still a lot of unknown about that. You know, some reports coming out of that it was being investigated as an overdose, but still nothing quite official yet from anybody.
Maybe even Monday. I mean, could have been deceased a while.
Yeah, I've actually heard maybe even Sunday that it was.
Really?
It sounds like it was maybe more of a wellness check type of thing. So, you know, really, really sad to hear that.
And when we visit with Rob in about 30 minutes or so, the players that are hurt, that loneliness, that anonymity of that rehab, and you're with the team, but you're not a part, that's got to take a toll on you.
Yeah.
And for Brandon Clark, with the injuries racking up, the realization of everything I've been about since I was 10 is ending.
Yeah,
my basketball career. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean it's really heavy stuff.
That would be.
I mean it is, and you know, I think a lot of times we don't, you know, think about that other side of a lot of these professional athletes, and some of those things that, you know, we don't think about them because they're not issues that we have to think about. We think of, oh, you're living the great life of have all this money and fame, and
it's got to be perfect
playing a kid's game at a professional level. But I mean, there are you know, real things that they deal with, and they go through.
And they hurt, and they get horrible diagnosis, and they're susceptible of terrible things in the world, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, they really are. And so, like you said, I thought the NBA did a really nice job with that last night, and I loved that NBC you showed it on the broadcast. I thought that was really, really cool. But the game itself, it was the Victor Wembanyama show. After being ejected in Game 4, he came out and was on fire from the opening tip. That first, what, 6 or 7 minutes, he had 16 points for the Spurs, finished with 27 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. I mean, he was just all over the place last night.
And Minnesota, again, really good, like they have been. They're trying to get in their third straight Western Conference Finals. They're not going to, but they're always in the mix. You know, you wonder if they're going to try the fresh face, new voice to run that team after they're eliminated. But they're a piece or two away as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they
are. Even with the good accumulation of talent they have.
Yeah.
really good team.
No,
a 49 win team.
Absolutely. No, they are a really good team. And so, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, figuring out some of those spots, you know, around
the edges.
You got
to be real good, don't you?
You do. You absolutely do. And so, and then, you know, the other thing about it is, you know, the Spurs are never going to be, with kind of the roster they have today, the best three-point shooting team in the league. You know, last night they shot somewhere around 34% from three, but Minnesota can't go out there and shoot 27% from three. I mean, there is just no way with what the Spurs can do getting to the rim, there's no way for you to win a game like that. And so to see that Minnesota team go 9 for 33 and some of those guys that they really rely on to knock down shots to shoot so poorly from three, I mean, that was really, really big for them last night. And they were just never able to get anything going.
Do the Spurs have anybody on that roster they think will eventually be the go-to three guy, or is that something in draft or free agency they got to go get?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I, you know, Julian Champagny's a pretty good three-point shooter, but I don't know if that's a long-term option for you. He's 24, I think can be a good role player, but I don't think he's your kind of starting guy that goes out there and is a knockdown shooter. So, yeah, I mean, I think it might be something that they kind of look and say, look, this offseason, we really need to go out there and get our kind of knockdown, you know, whenever we need a three-point bucket, give it to him and he's going to knock it down. Because, you know, you look at this team, I'm trying to pull up their shooting. You know, they don't really have a guy that, you know, Champagny, like I mentioned, is a pretty good three-point shooter. You know, Keldon Johnson can be a decent three-point shooter. But after that, you know, it's a lot of guys shooting in kind of the mid-30%. So, you know, I think that is a question mark that they really need to answer over this offseason.
And how many times have teams entered into the offseason that's all they're missing? We need one more piece and that's not easy to find.
No. It's not easy to find at all. And so, you know, all these teams that we talk about, you know, when they eliminated, obviously there's something that you got to fix. There's a hole somewhere on the roster that you need to fix. Otherwise, you'd be holding the championship trophy. And so, you know, it'll be really interesting. We talked yesterday about the Lakers and all the questions that they have around them with LeBron James and what the future looks like for them. But the Spurs kind of right there of, you know, how they've built this group that, you know, it looks like they're going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. We'll see what happens against OKC. But what do they do after this? How do they take this team to that next level? And you know, that will be the big question, Austin, because they've got great young pieces. It's just maybe adding, you know, one or two more pieces in there around the edges. Nothing too big, just kind of around the edges adding a couple pieces.
A truly remarkable playoff story is playing out again as 61-year-old Kelly Olynyk is still in the playoffs.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk, he's still doing it. Still
only 2 minutes last night, yeah. But when you're 58, you know, you can't be the marathon guy.
Touching
can
the floor,
been around forever.
Oh no, he has, and you know, has been a fun player to watch and follow throughout his career.
Let's see how many teams. It feels
it's been a handful.
One time, Rob and I decided that you played for every team when you get to eight.
Yeah.
Let's see
he's
about
got to be close to that.
Got to be. he's played for eight in the last 5 years. It feels like,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, he is. He has been everywhere. So I'm sure he's. If
here
not
we go.
There, let's see.
Count them: Boston, Miami, Utah, Toronto, San Antonio, Detroit, Houston, and New Orleans.
Yep, that's eight. That's eight right there.
That's it. That's everybody. Yeah,
that's,
he's done it.
Played for everybody.
And from Gonzaga, like Brandon Clark.
That's right. Yeah. No. And they were, you know, I saw somebody point out, you know, the team he was on was Rui Hachimura, Corey Kispert, that team.
Yeah, so, right before.
You know, yeah. So a handful of, you know, NBA guys that are around the league that played with Brandon Clark. So, you know, that story yesterday didn't just hit the Grizzlies. You know, there are a lot of people around the NBA and you know, around the college game that story really hit yesterday of the passing of Brandon
Gonzaga's
Clark.
Got a proud program.
Mm-hmm. No, they absolutely do. They definitely do, and they've pumped out, you know, some really good pros. And, you know, we'll see. I know a lot of people have high expectations for what they can do next year, and we'll see if maybe they can be back up there at the top.
It started in Memphis with that original from Santangelo group.
Oh yeah, it definitely did.
Late 90s.
Yeah, they had the Gonzaga Memphis had a good run there, and it was really fun to watch. But tonight,
now, long time people would say it started with John Stockton. Most don't remember John Stockton at Gonzaga.
No. That was I wouldn't say that it goes back to that. I would say it's a little more recent than then. But tonight in the NBA, Cavaliers and Pistons in Detroit, the series, it's been chalk all the way through. What happens tonight, Brett?
Stay Schalk.
I think so. Detroit, a 3.5-point favorite in this game tonight. We'll see if they can cover it. I think they probably can. But after losing back-to-back games, you know, it's not necessarily back against the wall for them. But that locker room, it's got to kind of feel like that. Hey, we got pushed to the edge against Orlando in the first round. We were up 2-0. We were breathing easy. Now it's 2-2. I mean, we've got to do something tonight at home.
A young team can't ever breathe easy. No. They're learning that.
They
and the laps around the track, it's helping them. But any chance to win this series, they can't go down 3-2 and having lost the all-important game five at home.
Yeah, no, this one's a big
one. It's got to be Detroit basketball town tonight.
No, it definitely does. And it will be interesting. You know, obviously a lot of talk right now about Jalen Duren and the struggles he has been having throughout the playoffs. And maybe you see a more positive game from him tonight at home. But he's really struggled, especially against all
the struggles.
Well, against Cleveland, all that length they have down there in the front court has been a real, real struggle for him. And going back to the last series, you know, I think that was more just being young and some of the
around
out
the track.
Of sure.
He's got to get around the track.
He does.
It's the worst he's played all year.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and there, you know, there's the off the court, you know, storylines with him as well, going back to the first series. So you know, I think there was a lot at play if you want to buy into some of those things.
Yeah, and I don't on some of them.
Well, no, but some of them I could maybe see. You never know.
You can, but I think most of it with Detroit is just seasoning.
Okay. That
this will really help them in 2 years, but like Minnesota and like many other teams, you got to capitalize on that window.
Yeah.
Keith Smith, I'm telling you, forever, so many smart things, but the window is never as wide open as you think it is. And when it starts shutting, it usually slams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it definitely does.
It doesn't ease shut.
Mm-mm, no.
I mean, it's right down on your fingers.
Mm-hmm. So they need to take advantage of these next couple of years and try to make the most of it for sure.
Landers Ford and Collierville are our sponsor of this hour, and we so appreciate them, the number one Ford dealership in the Mid-South. And we talk about the golf tournament and things at the golf tournament. They're again going to be the official vehicle of FedEx St. Jude Championship and our primary sponsor when we're out at Southwind come August. They'll be with us at SEC Media Days. They're with us every day, all the time on so many things. Landers Ford, your trusted destination for a vehicle that fits any lifestyle, seamless shopping experience from vehicle choice to financing to service, from the Ford Escape to the rugged F-150 to the adventurous Bronco, every vehicle built with those Ford tough standards. The Ford F-150, America's best-selling truck, always number one. SUVs like the Ford Escape, the Ford Explorer, Ford Broncos, the Ford Expedition, and EVs and hybrids. Transparency, professionalism, and long-term support and long-term friendship is what you get at Landers Ford in Collierville. Anything service-related, it'll be done quickly to meet your busy schedule. Oil changes, tires rotated. Go online and schedule when it suits you the best. Landers Ford, active in our community in Collierville at 2082 West Poplar Avenue, or online at LandersFordMemphis.com. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
Well, let's get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
85 FM, this hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, my big number today is the number 40. We talked about Paul Skeens and what he has been doing this season earlier in the show. My big number comes from his performance and his recent performances. After last night's 10 strikeout, no walk performance, Paul Skeens now has 40 strikeouts since his last walk on April 13th. So that's all. I mean, that the fact that he hasn't
that's
walked
a month,
about
today.
Yes, is in a month is incredible. But to add 40 strikeouts on top of that with no walks is really remarkable. That's the most strikeouts between walks by a Pirates pitcher since the mound was moved to its current distance in 1893. How about that?
Is that the modern era?
That goes further than the modern era. So I don't even know what that would be considered.
There's nothing about 1893 that's modern.
Nothing at all. So I'm glad it's not roped into that. But I don't even know what to call it.
He's rolling. He makes it look easy,
yeah,
doesn't he?
He really does. It's been fun to watch.
Your big number was 40. I'm gonna go 10 less. We can go with 30. That's the number of major winners in the PGA Championship field at Aronimink for tomorrow and Friday out of the 156-man field. 156 players, 30 former major winners, and one of those, and it's the longest player that's participating this year, longest you have to go back to a tournament winner, and that's Memphian. Sean McKeel goes back to 2003, the winner that year at Oak Hill. He also had a runner-up in a PGA. And it is amazing with what he's done, and he's not in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. What do you got to do to get in it?
That's a great question. I don't know. What I got to do to be in there? Because I feel like he has certainly earned a spot.
Low man at a major.
Yeah, yeah.
Champion, Wanamaker.
Right. Yeah, that's impressive. I have no answer for that. I don't even know what to say to that.
Astounding.
No, it really is. It really is.
And I think too often forgotten locally and underappreciated locally with what he did in his career. First time I ever saw him, he was playing as a college player the first or second year. I think it was the first year. I played at Colonial in 88, moved to Southwind in 89, and he was in college at Indiana, national champs in football.
Yeah.
That day, if you had asked him, over the next 30-some-odd years, 35, 36 years, IU Hoosiers national champs, or you win a PGA championship?
Oh, yeah.
I think he would have said PGA. I think he would have bet on himself.
Sure, certainly.
And he was playing that day as a young collegian and playing at Aronimink as one of the past champions. Saw him on Twitter last night at the champions dinner. Scotty Scheffler in charge of that menu, and it looked more like our menu, Brian.
Yeah, I believe it. I know we've talked about kind of the Scotty way of thinking for
Scotty's taste buds are ours.
Yes, I definitely feel like I lean with him on a lot of things. There's some of the other menus I've seen in recent years, but I still say I don't think Rory's was that bad. I think there were some things on there that I could get down with.
I'm gonna let you try it and tell me how it is.
It wasn't as bad as some of the other recent ones that I've seen. So.
A lot of menus though at majors now, isn't it?
There are a lot of menus. They like eating, which I can't blame them.
I don't blame them.
So.
Brian, I've got us covered tomorrow night on the schedule release.
Good.
I just don't know how much more action I'm gonna have though, because it's
true.
The drips and drabs. Now we know on Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving Eve, Packers at Rams. That's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next afternoon, we knew about Eagles at Dallas. Mm-hmm. Now we know the noontime slot for Detroit, their time. It will be old black and blue division NFC North game, Bears at Lions.
Okay. Wow. That'd be a good game. So yeah, we're getting a lot more clarity on the schedule and what it looks like before the actual schedule is released tomorrow
night. What's going to be left tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a bunch of throwaway games, I'm afraid, because all the big time, prime time, important games, they're all being released over these last couple of days. So yeah, you've got us covered on that. You would have had us covered even if we had a blank slate and we didn't know any of the games.
I'm ready.
Still let you have it covered. Again, I don't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow night. I know I will not be watching the scheduling show.
By Thanksgiving, boy, the tale of two quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, feels like the next several years are his.
Mm-hmm.
It's his playground.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much for Jared Goff. That window could have shut.
Yeah.
For the Lions.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting game to have on Thanksgiving, because I think you're right. You know, where both those teams could be on Thanksgiving could be in two very different spots, could be in two very similar spots. And I think, you know, that will be the fun thing to watch both those teams and, you know, certainly, you know, watch a lot of teams, you know, that we see in these primetime games. It's the big name teams. You know, we talked about it earlier with that game the night before on Thanksgiving Eve. Those are some big names right there. And so, you know, it's kind of fun to see the schedule come out this week and then kind of, once we get there, look back at how we were talking about these games and does it still match up to the hype that was around some of these games way back in the offseason.
Two regular season games on a Wednesday night. The opener for the champ, Seattle. And we're still waiting on that opponent. That will be one thing revealed, I think, tomorrow night.
Yeah. You never
know. You think it'll leak before big reveal?
I do.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think we'll know about that at some point tomorrow during the day.
NBA, they clamp down on that around schedule time. Now, Rob Fisher, our next guest, coming up in a few minutes, he always has the best release of anybody in town. And the breakdown in used to, it was a veritable sieve with everybody having it. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, Rob's about it on NBA schedule release day.
Yeah, no, they lock it down. So it is kind of weird. But the NFL, they like to get those leaks out.
The Shield's going to crack down after this year.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they kind of like a little bit of the leaks?
They like a little bit of it, but I don't know that they liked Lions and Bears getting out.
That's true. I could see that. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they can release however they want to. I'll get it eventually.
I'd like just in one big tranche. Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fine. It is kind of weird kind of having to play the game of trying to keep up with all the leaks because, like you said, I didn't know that. I mean, you just broke the news to me about Lions and Bears. I hadn't seen that. And so kind of keeping up with all the leaks and where they're coming out and what games are where. And it's a little hard to keep
up. I guess we'll get preseason as well. The only thing we know about preseason so far is the Hall of Fame game, the Carolina Panthers playing Arizona Cardinals in Canton on Thursday night, August 6th.
Yeah, so that'll be fun tomorrow when we get the whole thing in front of us and can really start taking a look at what these schedules look like and what the NFL season might look like. But let's go ahead and wrap up this second hour. When we return, we're talking more NBA. Rob Fisher from the Grizzlies Television Network, he joins us next on Sports Time.